Good morning and welcome. Our gospel begins with Jesus speaking about his upcoming persecution and death. In Mark's gospel, this is the second of three such discussions that Jesus has with his disciples. It appears that Jesus' statement about his upcoming passion gets the disciples talking about who among them is the greatest. Some commentators question if maybe the disciples were discussing this in regards to the places of honor that they wish to have within God's kingdom. Even though they are confused by Jesus' foretelling of his death, the disciples seem convinced that things will be changing for them in a short amount of time, when the Messiah finally fulfills his mission and purpose. So naturally, it seems acceptable that the disciples would begin to discuss if they will be given the first opportunities at holding places of honor within God's kingdom. Even though the disciples did not share with Jesus what they had been discussing, it does appear that Jesus knew what was taking place within the hearts of the disciples. He reveals to them that if they want to be first, then they should strive to be last. Not only should they desire to be last, but they should work towards being a servant to all of God's people. To further illustrate this point, Jesus takes a child, places the child in the midst of the disciples, and he places his arm around this child. What a beautiful image of Jesus' love and affection towards his child, there with his disciples. Children amaze me. As a parent, this is something I get to experience on a daily basis with my own kids. It's incredible how much innocence and purity can be found within a child. There is also a refreshing curiosity within a child to learn about the things they encounter in the world around them, along with a sometimes embarrassing amount of honesty that a child will display from time to time, particularly when they share with their mother what daddy has been jokingly saying about mommy's driving skills. This was recently revealed to me during a dinner conversation with my wife, and it serves as a good reminder that kids do actually listen to their parents. But all kidding aside, as wonderful and delightful it may be to be around a child and to witness their never-ending amount of energy, sadly, this was not the case during the time of Jesus and his disciples. During the first century, a child was not viewed as a symbol of innocence and honesty, but rather a child was viewed as a symbol of someone who lacked any social status, any legal status within the society. For the most part, a child was typically viewed as a type of non-person who was totally dependent upon another for both protection and nutrition. It was actually considered foolish to serve a child because a child could not repay a person back. The focus tended to be that if you help someone, then the person you helped should somehow be able to repay you back. Therefore, helping build up your status in society. Serving a child, however, it would do nothing to help improve one's social status. It was considered almost to be just a waste of time. So much so that it was oftentimes advised that if one's home was to catch on fire, then a person was first to save their parents or the elders of the house, then to save their spouse, and finally, if time permitted, to try and save the children. If there was a famine taking place within a region, well, the children were the last ones to be fed after the adults had eaten. That is, if there was any food remaining for the child. This was the status and view that existed towards children during this time. what Jesus is asking of his disciples, it goes against everything that the disciples would have most likely been taught or raised to believe with regards to the treatment of children. Jesus was calling them to be servants to all, especially to the least of God's people, to those that society has dismissed, to those who have been cast out, and to those who have been abandoned. Not only that, but if the disciples were to be servants to all, then that also meant serving those who opposed them as well. In Mark's gospel, the word used for servant is the Greek word diakonos, which becomes the root word for the word deacon. A deacon by his ordination is configured to Christ the servant. The ministry of the deacon, or of the diaconate, begins in the Acts of the Apostles. When the 12 apostles call and ordain the first original 7 deacons. What prompted the need for the establishment of the diaconate was the concern that some of the widows, in comparison to other widows, were being neglected in a daily distribution of the community's charity, possibly because of their cultural background. As the faith began to grow and spread, the apostles quickly recognized the need for help with the distribution of charity for those in need. Now, the root word for charity, it is also the same root word for love. And because of this, I believe it is fair to say that not only was the diaconate established to help in a distribution of charity for those in need, but also to reveal God's merciful love for those we encounter. St. Stephen was one of the original 7 deacons who were called by the apostles. The story of his entire ministry as a deacon can be found within the Acts of the Apostles. Basically, he was a rising star within the early Christian community. He was doing some amazing things among the people he was serving. So much so that it actually began to annoy those who opposed the early Christian church. Those who stood in opposition to Christianity. They began to create a lie to try and stop St. Stephen from spreading the good news of Jesus. They spoke falsely of St. Stephen, and he brought him before the Sanhedrin to be put on trial, to have to defend himself against the false accusations that were being made against him. St. Stephen defended not just himself, but also the good news of our Lord and Savior. St. Stephen began to explain all of salvation history, beginning with the appearance of God to Abraham and leading all the way up to the persecution of the righteous one of God, our Lord and Savior. St. Stephen's message to the Sanhedrin that day is oftentimes viewed as having been his first and only homily about the good news of our Lord and Savior. Those who heard St. Stephen, they became so enraged with his defense of Jesus. This was the hatred within their hearts. So much so that they dragged him out of the city to have him executed by stoning him to death. Before his final breath, St. Stephen intercedes on behalf of the people who were harming him, who were executing him, by praying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." St. Stephen exemplified what it meant to be a servant to all. To be a servant not only to the lowliest of God's children, but even to those who stand in opposition to Jesus. By praying for God's mercy upon those who oppose us. It is sometimes difficult for us to not only serve those who oppose us, but even to just try to offer a prayer for our enemies. And yet this is what Jesus calls us to do. In some regards, this is what Pope Francis is calling the church today in Europe to do. To show God's mercy and love to the refugees that are coming into Europe from the Middle East. Refugees that some in this world fear. refugees that some are refusing to help because some of these refugees, well, they're not Christian. Jesus doesn't ask us to serve just our fellow Christian, but to serve all of God's children. On a day that Saint Stephen suffered his martyrdom, there was a young man by the name of Saul who consented to the persecution of Saint Stephen. Saul was there. He saw what was happening. Saul went on to persecute Christians to such a degree that he would drag Christians out of their homes to be persecuted. That was until one day Saul had an encounter with our Lord and Savior, which changed Saul's life forever. We know Saul more so by his Roman name of Paul, or better yet, Saint Paul, who had written much of our New Testament and who had established many churches for the advancement of the gospel of our Lord and Savior. And while Scripture doesn't say this, I do oftentimes wonder if St. Stephen's prayer, asking God to forgive those who persecuted him, if it was maybe that prayer that helped St. Paul to encounter Christ and to become a Christian. In modern days, the deacon is given the challenge of serving as both an example and as a helper to others. We're trying to fulfill Jesus' command for us to become servants to all of God's children, regardless of their social status in life, regardless of whether they can help us to advance in our own lives, and regardless of whether they are a friend or an enemy. Who is the child that Jesus places in our midst today for us to serve? And are we willing to reveal God's love and mercy by serving them?